Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Another big weekend in college football. Ohio State back on the field this weekend after having a bye week. They got Marshall. Sneaky tough, maybe? No, they got a good... Marshall does have a good D-line, and they've got a lot of veteran kids, so it's still probably going to be a 50-point win by Ohio State, but I did just sell a fight there. So, to talk about Ohio State-Marshall, to talk about the big picture stuff, Jeremiah Smith, all that, we head out to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and welcome on of College Football News, our regular Thursday at 4 p.m. guest, the electric Pete Futek. What's up, buddy?
Wow, electric. I've never been described as that. That's a lot of other things you can put to that, but I don't know about electric. But by the way, that's why God invented point spreads. That's why, you know, so they win by 50. That's kind of what you need if you're in a certain part of the world. But, Ohio State should beat them. Shouldn't be too much of a problem. But Marshall is a decent team. It's more than just a light scrimmage. But, yeah, if you're Ohio State, you shouldn't have a problem with this.
I will say that on my podcast, Sons of the Shoe, people love college football podcasts. I know you love the Sons of the Shoe. I did say that I think the over-under on FanDuel right now is 40, and I have them comfortably winning. My co-host did the thing that you do when you're Ohio State, where you live in your fears, and he's like, I think they're only going to win by 38.
Yeah, exactly. See, again, most miserable fan base in the world, and I say that with pride. It really is. I mean, because you can't not win. You have to win by a lot, and you cannot have an incomplete pass. And even when you do win the national championship, someone's going to bring up that they lost to Michigan 3 years in a row. So, like, it's just how this thing works. But you know what? Ohio State's that good. You know, they should beat them by a gajillion points. And, you know, again, as I mentioned before on here, it's just, you're just tuning up. This is all preseason. I mean, everything is really for, you know, the one or two big games out there that really matter. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if they got stress tested a little bit. Not as much as Georgia got with Kentucky, but just a little, where you do have to throw a meaningful pass in the second half. But I don't think that's happening this weekend.
So you mentioned that they do start Big Ten play next week. Michigan State, who's undefeated currently, and then 2-1 Iowa the week before the Oregon game. I was curious, which one of those games do you look at and say might give Ohio State the best tune-up on their way to that Oregon game?
Yeah, I don't. I'm the only person in America that thinks they just go house Oregon, but Iowa only because they throw a knuckleball. We have an offense now. No, they don't. You know, it means that they try to throw the downfield pass a little bit. They're still Iowa. They're still at the great defense, great special teams, you know, and all of a sudden you blink and it's the fourth quarter and the score is 16-2 somehow. So just only because they've got that funky style. Michigan State is interesting. You know, it's a total rebuild. They've got a budding superstar in Aiden Childs who's going to throw three picks against the Buckeyes, but he also might throw for 300 yards. That's just a fun team that's going to be pretty interesting. I don't think Ohio State has a big problem with either one of them, but at least in terms of defenses, it at least gives them something else to look at other than what they've dealt with so far.
So I know that this is a loaded question. I'm not going to make it about the playoffs, but right now, Ohio State, Georgia, Bama, Tennessee, Texas, those are kind of five teams that early on look like they've got that dominant edge. How many of those teams right now would you take above Ohio State?
Georgia, and that's it. As I mentioned before, it's Georgia, Ohio State, and everyone else. Maybe Bama. You can make a case because all of a sudden, Kalen DeBoer has a defense. You know, we know the offense is going to work. We know Jalen Milroe is going to win the Heisman. We know that this thing is going to just, you know, put points on the board in bunches. But at Washington, the problem was he did not have a D that could hold up in key situations, and they still went undefeated until the national championship. Now he's got guys on that other side of the ball. So Alabama's a little dangerous. The Georgia thing this week, whatever. They've done it before. Don't you remember, like, Kent State pushed them, like, a couple years ago, and oh, no, and then they beat TCU 105-3, and Georgia does this, but talent-wise, that's the one team you're worrying about. I'm still not buying Texas. Ooh, you blew out UTSA. Ooh, they're good, but they're not at that level. So it's Ohio State, Georgia, slight dip, Alabama, and then everyone else.
Well, Pete, Charles Huff, the coach for Marshall, jokingly, we think, tried to lure Ohio State players and anyone in the country due to a all-you-can-eat biscuit offer from a local establishment around the Marshall campus there. I'm curious, what do you think players like more, $1 million in NIL or unlimited biscuits?
And if you throw, are you throwing a video game somewhere in there? Because really, I mean, we forget these are still kids. And there's a part of them that's like, you know what? I kind of really dig these biscuits. Yeah, they're not wrong. A good friend of mine actually used to play for Marshall. And yeah, the food around there is apparently amazing. So not crazy, but hey, you never know what does it. But no, Huff's fun. Huff's doing this right. And, you know, again, I don't think there's going to be any drama here. But this is why you play them. I mean, Toledo whacked around Mississippi State. I mean, Northern Illinois, you know, beat Notre Dame because Notre Dame historically forgot to run the ball. You know, that's why you go out there, you block and tackle. Marshall beat Notre Dame on the road a couple of years ago. Sometimes quirky things happen. I don't think it's going to be anything to worry about, but certainly Marshall is a little bit of a step up in competition a little bit.
Pete, why did Michigan wait so long to go with Alex Orji when Warren was clearly butt?
well, he wasn't awful. He just wasn't good. It's a mystery to me how Michigan does not have at least five decent transfers in there playing around with this quarterback thing. It just, we'll see with Orji. The problem with Orji is he can't complete a pass. I mean, he's got the talent, but unfortunately he needs a lot of at-bats, and he just isn't going to get them at this point because the time to do it was before, you know, over the first few games of this season. But, yeah, you know, you always go with a more talented guy and work it all out. But their team is not very good offensively. That's another team that for some bizarre reason – just doesn't like to run. I mean, this isn't the NFL. In the NFL, you've got to mix it up, obviously. You've got to disguise every play, have every play available to you at every down, every distance, no matter what. College football, just run. If you've got a big offensive line, you just run 45 times, and usually things are going to be all right. But they just refuse to do it, and I'm not quite sure why, because they do not have quarterbacks who can throw.
Pete Futek on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We are monitoring the Guardians game. They are in extra innings. When that game goes final, we will get right to Guardians baseball. Hopefully it's a win so we can talk about, playoff baseball because they go a clinch in there.
I'm just going to ask really quick. I'm about to become second in my Roto baseball league. I know nothing about baseball. The Guardians are really good, right?
I believe that is the case. Yes, they are the current two seed in the AL.
Oh, okay. So is this, you know, cause, you know, then the season starts in like 2 weeks, right? Then it's really on. But that's cool. All right, yay Guardians. Except I'm a Twins guy from back in the day. But then again, I don't know baseball. So
wait. You can't call yourself a Twins guy if then you freely say I have no idea what's going on in baseball.
I was at Game 7 of 91, at Game 6 and 7 of 91. That's top line resume of big games I've ever been at. But I've kind of fallen out of favor with baseball over the years. But that's just me. I am that guy who all of a sudden finds it boring and now likes football just because it's so much more entertaining. But again, that's just me. I'll watch every playoff game.
Pete, be honest. Did you cash out after they won the World Series? Like, did you say it can't get any better than this, so I'm going to leave on a high note?
Actually, the hilarious part about that is, yeah, I kind of did. actually, you joke, but literally around here, I live in Chicago, And if you remember the timing, everyone's like, oh, the Cubs are going to win the World Series and no one's going to care about the Cubs anymore. Well, what'd they do? They took it off normal cable TV after that, where you had, they put it on, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, with their streaming services now. And like a week after, that's when Trump beat Hillary, and it wiped the entire narrative of the Cubs World Series just off the national map. So there was about a week's time where the Cub World Series win actually resonated with everyone. And then other things, other factors just knocked it right off.
Pete Futek on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Pete, I'm trained all fields here. I can't just be painted with one, college football brush. I know country and western here.
I appreciate your knowledge here and what you bring to the show. Does Arch Manning have a chance to Wally Pip Quinn Ewers?
How can he not? I mean, look, it's kind of a bad deal for Ewers because he is very good. I mean, he's a first-round draft pick. But everyone knows Manning's just better. I mean, he's just a more talented all-around core. I mean, forgetting the fact that he's Manning, I mean, but that is part of it, though. He does have kind of the training and the obviously the uncles and pedigree to be able to have the all-around skills to be ready to rumble. I mean, again, they beat Texas San Antonio, which is not the UTSA. The last few years, that would have meant something because UTSA was one of the best group of five programs. This year, not so much. But, yeah, you come out there, and everyone's waiting for Arch to come in. And, again, you got a guy who's like the 15th pick in the draft who's probably going to have a hard time coming back if Arch Manning goes off for the next against Louisiana Monroe. You're undefeated Louisiana Monroe Warhawks, by the way. If he goes off against them, it's going to be kind of hard because fans are going to be like, hey, look how great he is, even though he hasn't done anything against anybody yet.
Pete, thoughts on Tennessee starting to charge an extra talent fee for tickets that goes directly to the players?
I will say this, and I say it with love because I know a bunch of people who are in charge of NIL Collective. They're close, dear friends of mine. I don't know how stupid you have to be to contribute money to an NIL Collective. What are you doing? It's like saying, hey, I'm going to pay McDonald's an extra fee so they'll keep making the French fries I like. Like, no, that's not how this works. There's no reason to pay the salaries of these other kids and these guys. And it's the fact that they're lopping onto it and actually making it a part of it, you're mad. I mean, it's like, why am I paying for the talent on the field? I'm already paying for the ticket, the T-shirts, and the beer, and all the other stuff. And now you want me to pay for your labor? It is just the dumbest business model, and everyone's falling for it because they want to give money to their school because, oh, we're going to win now. No, you're not. It doesn't really matter. Everyone's paying the money. They have so much money to give away to these players, and they're making the fans do it now.
All right, Pete, we're going to do this every week now because now's when it matters, this Marshall game. The official Pete Futek Ohio State Marshall prediction. Go.
Pain. You know how it's going to work. It's going to take a little while, a week off. They take a quarter to kind of get up and going, oh, no, it's only 7-3 Ohio State. Uh-oh, another 7-6, they're in this. And all of a sudden, a 28-point run comes, and then the world is fine again. Ohio State's going to win by a lot. They cover, they win easily, and it's on to Michigan State. And then it starts to get a little more fun. And then, again, let's just get me to January 20th with your guys, and then we'll go from there.
Sounded like 60-3 to me. Pete, be good, buddy.
Later.
Pete Futek there, college football news in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I don't know how you don't watch the celebrations of getting ready for the playoffs with a giant smile on your face. I really don't. Like, there are so many things that I understand that rightfully in sports that we should be cynical of. But whether it was Bob Uecker getting love when the Brewers clinched their playoff spot last night, or whether it is now the Guardians in the clubhouse. And I will say the change that I notice is that everybody's got their phone in their hand while wearing the ridiculous, literally the beer goggles to protect your eyes from champagne. I just got to say, man, like, and listen, you guys know, I was one of the early believers of this Guardians team. And I don't get to take a full victory lap today, or a lictory lap, as I was just about to say. I don't get to take the full victory lap because they did it in a way that I didn't see them doing this. Like, when we came into the season and everybody was, take the over, or sorry, take the under on what I think it was 79.5 wins, right? They don't have enough this, they don't have enough that. There are two things going for them in my head. One, last year, I thought, was a culmination. If 2022 was everything that could go right, did go right, right? If that's what that year was, 2023 was the equal and opposite reaction. It was. Because whether it is the injuries to the rotation early in the season and then having to backfill some innings, which ate into the bullpen, and then all of a sudden the lineup started to press, and then this injury and that injury, and then Tito's retired. And oh, by the way, they sold on July 31st, the deadline. There were so many things that had to put them where they were last year, which was quite frankly not good and not the follow-up to the 2022 season that we were all hoping for. You know, we went into that season thinking, well, they're so young and they've got a great staff. And man, if you can just backfill a couple spots, you added Josh Bell, right? And then you watched the team and it was just everything that could go wrong went right. And I just thought to myself, they still have so much of the team that succeeded in 2022 that I think both were the extremes. Maybe they could split the difference. And the other thing they had going from this year is you add Tanner Bibee, Logan Allen, Gavin Williams to Shane Bieber and Tristan McKenzie. And that's a solid 1-5. Well, Shane Bieber was lost after two really good starts. Tristan McKenzie really has just never been healthy this year. And Logan Allen, I mean, fell apart halfway through the season. So Ben Lively saved the day, and you piecemealed the rotation, and the lineup was incendiary for 80 games, and the bullpen was even better than that, better than incendiary. I don't know if it's better than incendiary, but that the bullpen was. And what is impressive to me is if they had done this, you know, if they had done what they did the first 80 games of the season, all season long, one, they probably would have 110 games, and they would have been the far and away number one seed in baseball. But in the back of our minds, they would have said, well, okay, you've had some adversity, but have you really been tested? I think after August and September, I think that little lull saved us putting expectations, putting the cart before the horse. And it reminded us about how baseball is you can play great for 80 games, you play bad for 40 games, and it everything comes out in the wash. But 216-474-0092. If you guys were at the game, if you watched the game, if you're just excited about the Guards, want to hear your thoughts now that the Guardians have, that they have clinched a playoff spot here. They still got, I believe if our math is correct, a magic number of 3 for the division and 4 for the 2 seed. And I try not to get too much into this, but, you know, it's so funny because I think it was Danny earlier when Danny was in from 2-4 that said that this, you know, am I saying most likable or was it the best team? I kind of can't remember which one it was. Oh, no, sorry. He was referring to 2017 as the greatest collection of talent for the Guardians, and that was a year that ended in disappointment because they didn't meet expectations. I think so much of what has made this team enjoyable is that nobody came into the season with any expectations. Like Daryl and my burger bet, guys, it was 83 wins. And I had said, I think they can win the division. I think they can push for 90 games, but some things have to go right. But that was an I think. That was not a definitive statement that 100% that's what was going to happen. I think even the most consistently optimistic analysts around baseball thought they were going to be a 500 team. And so to see this team with zero expectations, one, for half the season, be the best team in baseball, and then for the next 80 games, really the next 70, 71 games, go out there and actually grit through the time where you couldn't backfill enough in the rotation, when the bullpen did start to be a little worse for the wear from being overused, when the lineup really went into the pot. And it wasn't, by the way, it wasn't just your 6-hitter, your 9-hitter, like we were used to. It was Stephen Kwan and Josh Naylor, and even Hosey to a bit.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
So to see this season go the way it is, how can you not be romantic about baseball? And how can you not be romantic about this organization? And I swear to you, today is the day where you want to throw Dolan's is cheap on, I got no time for you. Not today. Most days, you guys know, I'll hear any theory, whether I agree or disagree. Today, I'm sorry. Today is about celebrating what has been the second most unheralded season of Cleveland baseball that I can remember. People forget, in 94, guys, we saw that coming. 94 was foreshadowed in 91, 92, 93, where they kept accruing and bringing up these young guys in massive amounts of talent, and where you saw the juggernaut start to come together in those last 2 years before 94, and they were opening the new ballpark. You never knew if they could do it, but it was foreshadowed. This year, I guess, in a way, the 2016 teams, the first couple years of Tito Francona, they did flirt with a couple decent seasons, even if, by and large, they didn't get to where they were until 2016. But you could see that they were building towards something. I guess if you want to look at 2022 and say that, well, that was the harbinger of things to come, yeah, but I don't think anybody saw it. I know this is not where I take the victory lap, but maybe me and like seven Guardians homers on social media. And so within the last 2 years, we have had two of the most unheralded stories in Cleveland baseball history of the no-name kids where, like, look at the lineup in 2022, who started the season and who was the crux of the lineup in the postseason. Night and day. Even if you look at this year, and how Manzardo's come and gone, and Schneeman came up halfway through the season and surprised everybody. And the outfield is still very unsettled. John Kensie Noel gave you a run in August, as good as any hitter's had all year long. Power hitter, that is. Like, you start to look at this, and, you know, I know the natural tendency is to then, okay, now they've subverted our expectations. Now we should then set the expectations sky high. That's a conversation we can have. Absolutely. But I don't think you can just come back to this for a rookie manager, right? Because the trust in Tito was gone because Tito retired. For a rookie manager to take guys coming off what was one of the most disappointing seasons in Guardians histories last year, where guys, I think Antonetti and Chernoff had to go down to Houston after the trade deadline to basically stave off a revolt of people like Josh Naylor who were pissed in the clubhouse that they sold for a team that was still competitive. To think of where this team was. Honestly, guys, think about, you know what last August reminded me of? And I remember saying this on the air at the time. Last August reminded me of the lows that I remember as a little kid before 94. They reminded me, and which were the lowest of lows, right? And I mean, even when I was super little, the conversation of is Cleveland going to stay in the baseball market, right? Is that going to happen? Are they going to move to St. Petersburg or somewhere else? I mean, even though Dick Jacobs took over, those conversations were still happening 5-6 years into it because we didn't know about the stadium situation. I think back to the 02 and 03 season where it was a slow climb out of the ashes of those mid-90s teams. That's what August of last year. That was as low as it had recently gotten because you were losing Tito and they sold and you didn't know what was real and what wasn't real because the season was so disappointing. To then come here a year later, 13 months later, with a rookie manager, with guys, let's be honest, I still don't know if John Kentzie Noel's a major league player, full-time, part-time, or a 4A player. I don't know about Schneeman either. Damn sure don't know about Will Brennan, whether he's just a fourth outfielder, fifth outfielder, or a 4A player. You even look to Ben Lively. Like, Ben Lively has had a very nice year this year, which Ben Lively is the real, because it's the first time we've seen it. There are so many parts of this, and here's one other thing that I do want to say. To see Guardians fans show up early and often, and it was in waves. I remember talking about this as well. To see it roll in waves, right? There were the diehards in there in March and April, and they got so hot so quick. And then a new rash of people came in May. And that happens with weather. It also happens when your team is kicking the crap. I almost said bejesus. I didn't want to say that. The crap out of the rest of baseball. And so then a new wave came. And then in June, a new wave of people came. And the waves have never stopped. So I just, there are so many different ways, and we do the superlative thing about most blank ever. I don't even care about that today. Because it was just truly a special summer. And you add to it the great weather. You add to it the new changes of the ballpark, which I absolutely love and think the ballpark's better than it's ever been. Successful is just a big word to throw out there, but it is as successful of a Guardian season as I can remember, and that leads you to start to dream big in October. Joe, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Nick, thanks for having me, man.
Yes,
exciting,
sir.
Exciting time in Cleveland.
Isn't that awesome?
As always. Yeah, and I think I was in the same camp as you at the beginning of the season. I thought maybe there was a chance, but if you were to tell me that 4 out of the 5 teams in this division we're going to be over 500, 3 of them being 10 games over 500, and we'd be sitting at the top spot, I probably would have called you nuts. But here we are, man, three wins away, magic number of 3, 4 for that 2 spot. Getting in the divisional is huge. Just very, very exciting stuff. Super excited to watch. And buckle up, baby. October's going to be fun.
Joe, love it. Go Guards, buddy. Joe, giving us a call there. I almost called him Other Joe. I always do that. Second Joe, wait 1 second because I'm going to get to you. I'm going to continue to go back to the idea that the expectations and limited expectations for this team, I actually think were the best thing to happen to this, because coming off last year, it was a low point in terms of how you felt individually. There was a nasty space where a lot of Guardians fans were living in that, everything had become derivative, which this is not unlike Cleveland sports talk for me to hear. Dolan's is cheap. Chernetti's the problem because they had just an awful offseason going into 2022. It was maybe Chernetti should go with Terry Francona, which I still think is one of the most asinine takes you can have. To come here and to see a lot of people reclaim faith. I also think like 2022 is still so close to the change that happened. I think this was for those, I don't want to say last remaining, but for a lot of holdouts who hadn't jived with the new name and who maybe were bitter in one way or another. I think this team brought some of that back. I think the City Connects, I'm watching the highlights, right? The City Connect unis, I think, gave you a connection to this name that I don't think we had previously. And I continue to go back to, I can't think of a way in which this season would be any more successful than it is, other than the one thing that you can do is win the whole damn thing. Joe, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Man, you know what? I'm only thinking about this as we're talking, because I was talking about all the young players, how they all came through from Cantillo. I thought he was done. You know what I mean? Unbelievable. And look what he did the last three starts. And then Rocio, we're all like, you know, he makes errors and he's not hitting that. But you know what? It's the organization. These guys believe it. And Angel Martinez took over Michelle's brother or nephew's starting position, and that's what we were missing. Because when Stephen Kwan started losing it, the rest of them started losing it. Our hitters are like, they roll together. And that first guy like that, a guy like that, and I'll tell you what, all these young guys from Noel, we've had maybe like one guy step up. We thought it would be a Jake Bowers or something. And, you know, we'd have like one hitter, one pitcher. We had like four guys that came up through the system this year in our organization and vote. That manager, we believe in all of them. We still don't have too many starters, but our bullpen, everybody can do too when needed. It's just unbelievable. The whole crew, from top to bottom, from veteran, because Ramirez been in, you know, he's been doing hot for a while. And Josh, unstoppable though, right behind him. And then all the young brothers. I'm just saying, this organization, who knows what can happen this year? This is very unexpected. I look at Arizona, I look how they're doing, and I'm like, you know what? Who knows? We could spank the Yankees. Let's do it.
Joe, love the energy, brother. Appreciate you. Spank the Yankees got me. I will be honest on that one. I think everybody in the room cracked up a little bit of that. I really, really, as probably the preeminent Tito apologist in this town, I was super unsure of what you were getting in Stephen Vogt. And I talked in the last segment about how part of this season, what makes it so special, is that this team fell apart after the All-Star break and has just recently, in the last month or so, put themselves back together. Well, if you had gone into the postseason, a 110-win team, and you have a rookie manager who's never really been tested. Yeah, I know they had injuries. Every manager in baseball has to deal with injuries. But if you hadn't had that period, I think Stephen Vogt might have been the thing that I was most, I don't want to say concerned about, but it would have been one of the bigger questions I had. And now I don't have that question. Because to get this thing righted from how bleak that it got, where there was times in, you know, late August where there were must-win games, must-win series, or Kansas City was going to overtake you in the division, I think you have to give credit. It was easy to give credit to Stephen Vogt when this team was killing everybody through 80 games. But that's easy to say. When a team wins and they don't face adversity, but they overcome it easily, and they're just, everything's, you know, nothing's bringing you down, you don't really know what you have as a manager. And so to have, I think you can have a little extra faith in Vogt, knowing where this team, what the rock bottom looked like, and how this team sprung back. And by the way, I still don't think they're playing their best baseball yet. They're playing pretty good. They're resilient again, which is super crucial in the playoffs. I still think there's another gear to get to, especially atop that lineup, whether it's with Martinez leading off or Stephen Kwan. 216-474-0092. Peter, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, big thumbs up to you, Mr. Wilson.
No, thanks, buddy.
you wanted to talk about expectations. So I think there is a tendency to confuse what you want versus what you expect. I want them to win the World Series. I want them to go to the ALCS and the World Series and win it all. But my expectations are nothing. Going into the season, I thought they'd be a 500 team at best. At best, they just lost their Hall of Fame manager. They only won 76 games. To start the season, they lost their number one ace, and they've been piecing together a starting rotation with scotch tape and, you know, glue. and sparkles and construction paper, and they've gotten through it through their tenacity, through their bullpen, through their clutch hitting. And so I'm not going to go into this playoff with expectations. I'm going to hope for the best and want for the best, but if something odd happens or they get kind of knocked out in some odd series, I'm not going to be super critical of the team because they are, I don't know how many seasons ahead of schedule. What do you think?
I actually think you've got a great attitude on this. Listen, I think like everybody else, I think they can win a World Series, but this idea that everything's a failure unless they do that, I don't like those numbers. I don't like that mentality. So, and it also diminishes what was accomplished this year. So I think they can make a run, and I think this might even be a more dangerous team than 2022 because I think the bullpen's better, and I think the lineup is at least marginally better, and I think you have more guys at the back of the lineup that can help you. But I mean, I like the idea of I'm just going to go in and try and enjoy the playoffs, and whatever happens, I'm going to be content with. I do like that. I think we are going to have expectations, but I like that mentality, Peter.
I also think August was concerning, but I sat back and said, if they're still leading the division at the end of August, let's see what comes in September, because you don't want to be crushing it through August and then slump through September and have an early clinch of the playoffs in the division and then slump the rest of the way and limp in. I'm like you said, their tenacity's back, their fight's back, and they're not playing their best baseball yet, but they have you know, a couple more games to start playing their best baseball, and they're moving in the right direction. Guys other than Jose Ramirez are stepping up, especially guys that aren't Josh Naylor. You know, like Rocchio's stepping up, and Jimenez is stepping up, and Manzardo's stepping up, and I just feel great about the team. I feel great where we're at, and I'm just really excited for this October.
Peter, love the attitude, man. Go Guards. Appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, you too.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.